Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rehabilitating Your Portfolio, a podcast about how to protect capital while still capturing the upside. And now, here's your host, Brett Rosenthal.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal, and we're going to explore all aspects of rehabilitating your investment portfolio today and every day. This is, don't forget, a live trading desk. You might hear the phone ring. Might have to pause in the middle to execute an order. These are the information I'm sharing today are pieces of information that we are actively using right now to manage capital. We manage our own personal capital this way. We manage capital of individual clients that we work with. And what we're going to be doing is sharing tools that we actually use to rehabilitate portfolios of our new clients, but also to continue to increase our net worth in a meaningful way by protecting capital but still capturing upside. And the primary tool that we use for this purpose is our institutional quality proprietary algorithms. So we've written algorithmic code to help us direct our investment in the equity indexes and then in the equity group indexes and then drilling all the way down into individual stocks in those groups. We kind of look at our investment approach as a pyramid like that. We start with the direction of the overall big market, the three big indexes, equity indexes. We follow the S&P 500, the NASDAQ 100, the small cap index, Russell small cap, and then, of course, along with that, treasury market. We follow 30-year treasuries or 20-plus year treasuries. And we're using, as we talk today and every day, we're talking about investments that are generally in exchange-traded funds, ETFs, and then, of course, individual stocks along with that. So if we say we're going to be long the S&P, what we're really doing for our personal assets and our accounts here is that we're long shares of SPY, for example, or shares of SSO, which is a ETF that performs twice the volatility of the SPY, things like that. So step one in our show every day is to go over what our algorithms are telling us. Let's start at the top of the pyramid, look at the S&P. We'll get to the North Korean discussion and how those type of news events really affect the market in the second part of the show. But to start, let's quickly run through what the algorithms look like today. Not much of a change from yesterday. We had that nice start to the day yesterday. Then we ran into the North Korean stories, and we gapped down this morning. Now, what is interesting with the S&P algorithm, we got long that index back on the 12th of July. We're almost a month into this particular buy signal. The market's only up 1% during that month, so not a lot of action right now. But we are right at our – we're in a what we call a trailed stop phase. We have three separate stop loss disciplines that we incorporate in our algorithms. Our entry stop loss rules, then we have our what we call raised stop rules, and then we have our trailed stop rules. So we are in the latter stages of this market advance, and we're up to the trailed stop rule. So with every day that happens going forward, our stop is going to increase, and to the point of which we eventually get stopped out, hopefully at higher prices. So this morning we actually gapped down right to our stop, which is around 246.43 on the SPY. And we bounced off of it, and market's trading 246.90 right now. Let's move over to the NASDAQ 100. We are still long that index, again, going back to the entry of the 10th of July. We are in trailed stop status. The trailed stop is a price of 141.65 right now. So that goes up every day. It has been going up every day since the 19th of July. There is a disturbing double top that looks like it's taking place in the NASDAQ 100. Our primary exit on that initial buy signal was up at a price of around 144.11, and we definitely, you know, would book profits. We also have what we call a profit protection exit on the 28th of July, as the asset went above the 144 area and then cratered back below it on a big down day. That resulted in us booking some profits there. And in my own personal portfolio, I'll share with you, I booked all my profits in the triple Q trade and transferred the exposure, some of the exposure, not all of it. I took exposure out of the market, but I moved it over to the S&P, where there's less volatility, more liquidity, and when things start to go awry, it's best to be in the most liquid asset with its easiest to execute. So far so good. Actually, the S&P is kind of flat, and Nasdaq's down a little bit from those prices. But anyway, so Nasdaq gapped down this morning, but still well above its trailed stop, which is the 141.65 area. The triple Qs are trading at 143.89, so a little bit of air underneath there. And the small cap index, we exited really our, again, in my own personal account, I exited the whole position of small caps back on the 27th and shifted my attention to the big cap indexes. And our algorithm got stopped out of the small cap index on the 3rd of August. And now we're at, again, lower prices. We were stopped out at a price of 140.31. Now the small caps are trading at 139. So small caps continue to go lower. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. So we're going to talk North Korea news. We're going to talk small cap news in a second. Let's just jump over to Treasuries. Treasuries have been all over the place. We had an entry signal that a day later came back. We had an entry signal. Let's see the date here just to be exact. That was on the 2nd of August. The very next day, we saw a 1% increase in Treasuries, TLT. Interest rates were going down. The very next day, we had the employment figures come out, better than expected, so Treasuries reversed, came right back to our buy point, and a couple days later, we were stopped out. Now, today, Treasuries gapped up on this, all, you know, this whole, you know, North Korean shenanigans. That's okay. I mean, not every trade goes in our favor. Not every trade works exactly the way we want. Sometimes there's a news event that takes place. The algorithms don't care about news events, right? We're not guessing what news events are going to do this, that, or the other thing to markets. What we're doing is looking at probabilities. We're looking at statistics with our algorithms. We're trying to put positions on when we feel the reward from that entry point is worth the risk. And what we're saying right now in Treasuries is that perhaps reward and risk are even at this juncture, and it's just not worth a position for us. So we're not long Treasuries at the moment. So that's how the big four stack up. Now let's hop over to the news of the day, which is, you know, North Korea and ratcheting up of tensions. I'm not going to really debate what's going on. You can watch regular news channels for that. We're going to discuss how it really affects our intraday trading and how it affects our longer-term algorithms. First of all, it doesn't really affect our longer-term algorithms at all, right? It really doesn't matter. The key to being a good investor is not trying to figure out the news. It's trying to understand the market's reaction to the news. Okay, everyone loves to try to prognosticate, oh, North Korea this means the market's going down or whatnot. But the news cycle, it really, here's the strange thing about news cycles. Depending on what the market does, the same exact news story will be reported in a different way, depending on what the market does. What I mean by that is, let's say there's a better than expected. Here's a perfect example. Let's say there's a better than expected employment number that comes out on the first Friday of the month. If the market goes up a lot on the news, then what you'll hear commentators say all day is that the market's excited that the economy's picking up. If the market goes down on that news, what you'll hear all day is, oh, the market's concerned that the Fed's going to start raising rates. So you see, which is the tail and which is the dog? The news cycle or the actual response by the market? And what I submit to you is it's the market's response that matters. It's and then the news cycle will catch up and try to, you know, read tea leaves and make up whatever story makes sense to fit the market behavior. So it's really a waste of time to try to figure out, you know, what the news story means. It really doesn't matter when you're running a portfolio based on algorithms, because the algorithms don't care. If we get stopped out, if the event that occurs is strong enough to stop us out, then we're in cash. And that's the way it goes. Now just give me a second. I've got to take this. Okay, I'm back. So we're talking about news events. So let's hop over to North Korea. And what I can tell you, again, it doesn't really matter for us. From a longer term standpoint, using our algorithms, if the market closes below our stop of 246, you know, in change, then we're going to be out of the S&P, right? It won't matter. If the market's strong enough to stay above that stop, then North Korean news doesn't matter. So it's kind of a more relaxing world to live in the algorithm world than it is fly by the seat of your pants, buy and hold world, where you're constantly trying to figure out what might happen next and will there be a sell off that ruins your what looks like a decent year for you. So we use stops, we use algorithms, okay? On an intraday basis, this North Korean nonsense really creates some wonderful opportunity, and I'll get to that in a minute. But what I want to say about North Korea or any news story right now, and this goes back to yesterday's show, the only news that matters is news that central banks are reducing liquidity or adding liquidity to the system. Please refer to yesterday's show and the show on Monday for more information on that. I don't want to go over it and rehash it again. But what we care about is whether or not central banks are reducing liquidity or adding liquidity. So if you put those glasses on and you look through the lens of will central banks be adding liquidity or reducing liquidity, you can then look at news stories like North Korea and determine in some fashion, can you determine what kind of effect the events will have on central banks? And what I submit to you is if there is actual any kind of military conflict with North Korea, that will without a doubt stop the Fed from reducing its balance sheet. Stop the Fed from raising interest rates. Okay? They're going to want to stabilize markets as we go into some type of military conflict. Okay? So ultimately, markets will go higher on that news. I know that sounds strange, but it's the truth. If it means over time central banks, and in fact, if the fear of from the central bank range is you know, building, let's say, that there is a military conflict with North Korea, you might even get an increase in central bank intervention in markets where they're adding more liquidity. And so what will happen is markets will actually go higher on that type of a news, even though that sounds strange. In the short term, there could be gap downs like this morning. But over a longer period of time, the news that you have to worry about when it comes to this bull market ending, the news that you have to worry about is news that will allow central banks to reduce liquidity. That's what you got to keep your eye on. Keep your eye on that ball. So, and I'm just going to leave you with this thought on this particular issue, and we'll move on. You heard it here first. This is going to sound a little strange. But if Congress gets together and works with Donald Trump, and all of a sudden we have a new tax code that's very beneficial to business and to the economy, and individuals for that matter, and we have a new spending package to rebuild bridges and roads, which create a lot of jobs and get the economy really rolling because things are so good, all the money's being spent and things are being built and taxes are down, I submit to you that when those announcements come, the market will begin going down, not up. And it will begin going down because it will allow central banks to reduce liquidity. And that's what drives markets. So you could say, I've been saying the last couple of days, the markets are not up because Donald Trump was elected. But, I don't know, maybe in retrospect, that is kind of why the markets are up. Donald Trump was elected, and what that meant to central bankers around the world is nothing's going to get done. Okay, there's not going to be any legislation that gets passed in the U.S., and they keep adding liquidity to the system. If there was ever political agreement in this country, that would be very dangerous for the bull market we're in, because it allows central banks to reduce liquidity. You have to look at every news story through that lens. And I'll just finish today's show with one note about intraday trading that I think is very important. And if you're following our Twitter feed, you would see my Twitter feed is at Brett Rosenthal. So it's B-R-E-T Rosenthal, R-O-S-E-N-T-H-A-L. And I've been tweeting all day today how we're handling the gap down this morning. Gap downs for the intraday trader offer phenomenal long opportunities. And gap ups offer great short opportunities. Okay, it might be the opposite that you're used to, the opposite how you think. Markets that open higher in the morning and run are prone to failure in the afternoon. Markets that gap down in the morning on fear are prone to rallies in the afternoon or early morning, like this morning. So as we were tweeting this morning, as you've been following the tweets, at 9:51 we were going long the S&P, long the NASDAQ 100 on the gap down, using an RCM algorithm that we use on an intraday basis to help us take those positions. And what we're looking for is gap closure. Most of the time, the market wants to close gaps. Sometimes it leaves them. But most of the time, you get a gap down, and the market's going to want to try to run up and close the gap, even if it closes lower at the end of the day. I mean, all bets are off right now on that morning activity of ours. We were long at 9:51. We were looking for a gap closure. We got the gap closure right around 11:57, and then a retest of that at 12:24. So the gap's been closed, and that excess position has been taken off of the books. That was an intraday trade, about 55 cents on the S&P and more than that on the NASDAQ 100. Okay? So remember that when you come in and you're looking at your investments, if you look at them that closely, when you get gap downs, very often what you should be thinking is, let's buy this weakness. And when you get gap ups, instead of getting all excited and playing that momentum trade, you should be getting more defensive and more concerned and think maybe we should be booking profits here. And this gets to the major issue that is the problem for individuals who are trying to rehabilitate their portfolio and rehabilitate their investment structure. Most brokers, most investment advisors that have been doing this for decades are trend following people. And quite frankly, it's in our nature to do that. It's in the individual's nature to be optimistic, to not want to miss the rally. So you get a gap up and your greed gets in and, boy, I don't want to miss this. You start buying it. And vice versa. Market gaps down. Oh, I'm afraid. And you let's sell things. Let's get out. This is dangerous. It's just a greed and fear response. which is now called FEED, apparently, to me. Fear and greed. Let's put them together. So what it's doing is it's feeding your trading decisions the wrong behavior, the wrong food. What you need to be thinking is the opposite. Move away from your emotions, and this is what algorithms help you do. But also move away from the old tools that used to work. Look, in the 90s and in early 2000, trend following trading really worked. Momentum trading really worked. You bought highs and you sold them higher. But momentum trading is not the best way to put money to work in today's world. What you want to try to do is buy weakness and sell into strength. And so this is precisely what we did this morning and precisely what we tweeted out this morning, exactly how we were doing it. So anyway, I hope you all have enjoyed this as much as I have. It really is cathartic for me to share our thoughts and what we're doing. And I look forward to speaking with you all tomorrow. And we'll see whether or not we're still long the S&P. It'll be a big question of where our stops are and how this market ends the day. I hope you all have a good day of trading, a good day investing, and rehabilitating your portfolio. Take care.
To learn more about how to protect capital and still capture the upside, join us at rosenballcapital.com. And for real-time updates about what our algorithms are saying, follow us on Twitter at Brett Rosenthal, B-R-E-T-R-O-S-E-N-T-H-A-L.